B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Excited to get on the BetQL guest line and talk to Jeffrey Chedia, NFL.com. You see him on TV all the time. He's writing columns for them. Jeffrey, what's going on, man? Thanks for making some time for us.
Not much, man. I love you. Going back in the day, Wu-Tang Clan. I love hearing that.
Trying to get everybody ready for the start of the NFL week here. So I know that I've read your column, I think it was earlier in the week, kind of about the biggest surprises. Yep. What really stood out to you from week one around the league?
Well, I think, you know, not going too deep into that list, the biggest takeaway was it's a lot of these teams are really rusty offensively. You know, you only had a couple 300-yard passing days, and it took there were teams like the Bengals who had no real offense going. That was a surprising loss. The Patriots, the Atlanta Falcons. Kirk Cousins going down there, you're expecting fireworks in week one, and you see it's going to be a little bit longer for that to happen there. And so, and obviously, Cleveland Browns were a disaster with Deshaun Watson. So I was really, it struck me just how much preseason work and how much you play and all that stuff factors into a really up and down week one.
It was definitely an up and down week one. One thing B. Mitch and I have talked about a ton is with the way preseason is now, and especially now that it's only you have that big gap in between the third preseason game and the regular season opener, like the actual time gap, week one maybe going to be rusty football. Is that almost by design, you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think anytime you look at the 17-game schedule, and that was one of the unforeseen consequences of that, is that you have to manage it better to be able to have players available at the end of the year. And at the end of the last season, you saw a number of teams going in the playoffs with significant injury issues. You saw the San Francisco 49ers lose Dre Greenlaw running onto the field in the Super Bowl. And, you know, going around the training camps this past, you know, summer, I had a number of different GMs talk about, I wish I could put these guys in bubble wrap and not have to expose them to things. And so, yeah, there is kind of a tightrope you're walking about trying to get people ready to play football, but also making sure you're not endangering them to a point where you can't have them available at key junctures throughout the year.
That's an understandable mindset, but my whole thing is, how do you get them ready to play football? I mean, once the season starts, you get people ready to play. People get hurt in the first week, too, now. And when you're not ready, you're going to see a lot of those injuries happen early on, and I just don't understand how they can really say that they really care about health when you don't get guys ready to play football, and then on the first game of the season, you want them to go full speed.
That's a great point. And I live in Kansas City, and I can tell you that Andy Reid, an old school coach who's been around for a while, you know, Brian, he has kept a very stringent, rigid training camp schedule. They go away. They practice hard. They practice for long hours. And his players have said that that's a big factor in, one, them starting fast, but two, them avoiding injuries. I mean, they've been as healthy as any team in the league over the last couple of years. And it's a big reason why they've been able to win back-to-back championships. So there may be something for some of the younger coaches to look at what Andy's doing with his players as far as getting ready to play, because they do a lot of stuff that old school, that's old school as it gets.
For sure. Maybe you got to see it in person. I don't know if you were there for the week one game, but what is Worthy's speed like for that offense?
Yeah, well, it's definitely breathtaking to watch him with the football in his hands and running. I try to pump the brakes on it with people around here because I tell them, look, he had a couple easy layups there, a reverse with about 7-8 blockers in front of him and a broken coverage on a 35-yard touchdown catch. But that's why he's here. He's here because that speed opens up different dimensions in their offense that are harder to open up now. You know, Travis Kelce's older. Rashee Rice is really more of an intermediate threat. He's not a deep threat. And so having him, you know, different parts of the field, pushing different parts of the field on the gimmick plays, it gives defenses one more thing to think about. So, yeah, I think the way they utilized him in that game is the way he will be utilized over the course of the year, is really as a chess piece for Andy Reid and not so much as a guy who's going to go out and have, you know, 1,000 yards in his first year.
Obviously, a lot of rookie quarterbacks made their debut this weekend. There were three of them. Certainly here in Washington, we care most about Jaden Daniels, and we'll get to him. But what do you think? Let's start with Caleb. The numbers weren't great, but they won the game.
Yeah, I was – I you know, look, I bought into the hype. I was drinking the Kool-Aid, whatever cliche you want to use. I was about it because, you know, I am so high on him, and I love the way the Bears have prepared to utilize him. But I think that it was actually an example of how smart the Bears have been, because they won that game with special teams plays, defensive touchdown, and didn't require him to have to put up great numbers. And so I know he wants to play better. I know they want him to play better, and I believe he will play better. There's something to be said for winning a game when your quarterback that young is playing that poorly. And so I think that was a really good sign for them in terms of being able to compete for a playoff spot because, you know, look, he'll figure some things out, and they'll make it easier for him down the road.
Yeah, and then what about Bo Nix in Denver?
A little different story. A little different team around him than what they have in Chicago. And, look, I was surprised at how much he was getting hyped up during training camp, and I know that's part of the deal when you're a quarterback and you're a first-round pick and also when you're playing for Sean Payton. But, you know, he played a team that Mike McDonald got a really good defensive scheme, good defensive players, and they knew that there was only so much he could do for the weapons he has around him. And so I feel like his performance was more predictable, and I think he'll get better in time too, but they got to put better players around him. They just don't have enough weapons for him.
But you look at, like, Chicago. Chicago has a plan where they will take some stumbles with Caleb.
Caleb.
Sean Payton is trying to prove himself. And I think that's going to put that kid, Nix, in a bad situation.
Yep. And that's exactly, you know, when you have a coach who's been hyped as a quarterback whisperer, who ran the last guy out of town, who had 26 touchdown passes and 8 interceptions. I know Russell Wilson has his flaws, but if you're Sean Payton, you sold that ownership, a young ownership, a new ownership, on your abilities and made a lot of money off them. Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to get Bo Nix up to a level that I don't think is really achievable quickly, because their salary cap issues are real over there. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs are real. The Chargers are going to get better real fast with Jim Harbaugh. And so, yeah, it's going to be a lot of pressure on Bo Nix, but there's more pressure on Sean Payton to make it work.
For sure. All right, let's get to the main event here in Washington. Jaden Daniels, you know, I know that on NFL Network you guys have been talking about him. What did you make of Jaden's debut? We'll start simply there and then build out.
You know, I liked what I saw. I mean, I think you saw the athleticism. You saw the playmaking ability. You know, I thought going into the year that there were some people talking about they could be a dark horse, you know, surprise, whatever. I mean, they're too young, I mean, to be able to do that. They've got some key veterans they brought in. But it's going to take a little bit of time. But I love what he can do as a playmaker. And I also love the fact that he played a lot of college football. And so that there is, you know, a maturity to his game that I think is going to bear well for him as time plays on. He gets more coaching, gets more comfortable because he played 5 years of college football. I mean, I think I saw a stat that he played against Justin Herbert in college.
Dang, that's crazy.
So, which is scary. And it's like he's been around forever. But I think that helps. I really do believe that when you the more reps you get, the more snaps you get before you get to the NFL, the more it gives you a sense of what you can become. It gives you an understanding of what it takes to succeed. So I liked what I saw because I think all the things are there for him to be a star.
But when you look at him, I think he ran the ball 16 times, and most of those were scrambles. It wasn't all call plays. There were some of them that were call plays. But I think when you look at young quarterbacks, they normally make a decision and they go. And I'd rather them be decisive when they're young. But when he gets to – as he goes through this thing, he'll know the scrambles, buy a little bit more time, let the ball go instead of just running every time. Did you have a problem with him running the ball?
I did not, for the reason you just mentioned that. I think there's a belief, a growing belief amongst a lot of coaches that when you have young quarterbacks, instead of trying to force them to do what you think your system should do, that you let them play to their strengths. And now I agree with you. He's a skinny guy. Like, he's not going to survive an entire career playing that way, or even, you know, 17 games in a season, putting his body in the line like that. But I think it's important for a guy to have confidence. They got to understand what he can do well. And he's a good enough passer. Cliff Kingsbury is a strong enough offensive mind that they'll be able to mix in some things and get him comfortable with not having to do that. You know, it's, I tell people all the time, it's like I watch, you know, Patrick Mahomes. I've watched him here his entire career. I've watched Josh Allen. And one thing that makes them special is they're not always making the right read. The ball's not always coming out on time, but they still know they can make a play when they have to, if it means they're using their legs or buying time or whatever. And so, yeah, 16 carries is a lot. Hopefully it's more around 7 or 8. But at this stage where that team is at, he needs as much confidence as he can get.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah, and I also think for Jaden, his first ever game, and it was Todd Bowles on the other side. They blitz so much.
Yeah.
I mean, he was facing five or more rushers on 50% of his snaps, roughly. Like, I think just this week against the Giants, it's going to be a lot more four-man fronts. And that Giants front is good, but when he doesn't have to identify the blitzer, and then that's in his head in his first ever game, I think he'll be more comfortable waiting for routes to develop. I think this week could immediately look a little less.
But he have to be waiting because it's a copycat league. And if they feel that Tampa has some success, they'll try to do exactly the same thing.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's, again, that's part of the growth process, right? I mean, it's, you know, again, going back to the maturation part of it, and I always go back to something that Carson Palmer told me a long time ago when he first got in the league with the Bengals, that, you know, the toughest part about being – a top five pick as a quarterback is that you have to resist the urge to go out and prove why you were picked that high, you know? And I think that I think he may have the ability to do that and not make the mistake that some quarterbacks make about trying to always show, hey, this is why I was here. This is what I can do. Like, there's going to be a lot more maturity in how he handles things.
And I think looking at the game, to me, he basically went out there, and when he ran it, he didn't still try to throw the ball in bad situations. He had no turnovers.
Yeah.
And I think right as a rookie, being that guy in your first game with that pressure, that shows a lot of maturity in itself.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I like that kind of, you know, put the ball down, go make something happen, swagger in a quarterback. I always feel like, you know, like I mentioned Justin Herbert, I see it with Trevor Lawrence, guys, bigger guys, to be honest with you, who could run and put the ball down and make something happen when they have to, but they become so overcoached to think, I got to make the play in the pocket. I got to go to this progression and make this read and do all this stuff. And if it's not there, I guess I'm taking a sack and throwing it away. And it's still football. It's still okay to go. Josh Allen puts his body in harm's way a lot, but man, it's when you're a teammate and you see a guy doing that, make something happen, there's a lot of inspiration that comes from that. You know, like Cam Newton was the same way when he played.
Yep,
for sure. Hey, Jeff, I'm looking at your most recent column on NFL.com, the big surprises. You said you were surprised by the Giants' defense. Everybody, whatever Daniel Jones is, we kind of know what he is at this point. What surprised you so much about the Giants' D?
Well, there's no pressure. I mean, you got a top 10 pick in Kayvon Thibodeau. You make a big trade for Brian Burns, and you're expecting those guys to really – get after it, because that's really a big part of how they're going to try to win games with that defense. And like, they had a lot of issues with Wink Martindale, you know, leaving last offseason. I know it was dramatic and all that, but those guys get paid a lot of money to make plays. And to have no sacks and hardly any pressure on a quarterback and Sam Darnold, who ran, he played well, but it's still Sam Darnold. It was shocking. I mean, it really, that team's a mess. it seems really with the quarterback on. I mean, and they're watching Saquon Barkley over in Philadelphia running wild. Your best
dude. What do you think John Mara's living room was like? What do you think Mara was doing watching that game?
I guarantee he probably wasn't turning back on that Hard Knocks off season show. It's a litany of how not to have success in the NFL. And it goes back to – it starts with the quarterback, but I think he's an easy target to beat up on. But there's been so many targets over the last year and a half with these guys, you know, from the offensive line, you know, the lack of weapons, and now the defense is a problem. So it's not looking good for them.
If it keeps going like that, Joe Shane better be able to go get himself reacquainted with that Hard Knocks.
Rent, don't buy.
Yeah, he may be working, looking for a job with NFL films.
Let's keep going around the NFC East. In your column, you wrote about how impressed you were by the Cowboys, too. I mean, going to Cleveland and kicking their ass is a pretty big deal.
Well, Well, even more so because of what was going on in the offseason with them, with the quarterback, with CeeDee Lamb and all these contractual negotiations. It's a lot of distractions. You know, I know Michael Parsons was a part of that as well. But, you know, I was most impressed that they came out and played the way they did. It was very clean, very efficient. The Browns have a good defense, and that wasn't a factor in this game. You know, they didn't have a ton of offense, but to be able to go out and put up 33 points in your opener on the road after the offseason and hearing how much you didn't do anything and didn't make any big additions, and where is this thing going, it just showed me that, you know, that team, you know, has won 12 games in the last 3 years for a reason. Now, whether they could be a playoff team and make a deep playoff run is still a big question about them. But I thought, yeah, to start the year out without being flat, when other teams were flat all over the league, I was pretty impressed with that.
Let's complete the NFC East here. Eagles obviously look pretty damn good in Brazil against the Packers. Do you believe keep that thing on the rails this year?
I think there's a pretty good chance of it. I think one is that you've gone through it now and you've had opportunity to talk about it. He strikes me as the kind of guy who's not going to just, you know, blow smoke up people's butt. I think he's going to be honest about it. I think he tries to have good communication. I tell people that team, when you talk about losing Shane Steichen, their offensive coordinator, losing Jonathan Gannon, the defensive coordinator, and then having the issues they had the second year with Sirianni, the next year with Sirianni. Like, I don't know how well Kellen Moore or Big Fangio will do, but I do know those guys are veteran coaches, and it does help to have that level of experience coming in. They've got track records. And look, the Buffalo Bills gave Ken Dorsey the offensive coordinator job, and they fired him halfway through the season because it wasn't working out with Josh Allen. And so these things happen. Sometimes you can have a higher impression or an idea of what a coach can do when you get in there, and it goes south. So from what I understand, it seems like bringing back guys like C.J. Gardner, who they missed last year, getting more talent in the secondary, they were relying on a lot of young players to grow up, and it didn't happen last year on defense. And I think now it has a chance to happen, but it can't hurt to have Saquon Barkley. It definitely can't hurt to have your receivers new contracts. That gets them off the unhappy list. And Jalen Hurts, even though he had turnovers, I think is going to be a better player because of what he went through last year. So I think that it will be a better situation for him.
What was your take on the Jets defensively and Aaron Rodgers? He didn't step into any throw to me, which tells me he's not one to stay healthy.
Yeah, well, and I was surprised at how basic they were. Like, it didn't really have – it wasn't much imagination in their game plan. It felt like the Niners' defense was a step ahead of everything they did. And on the defensive side of it, yeah, they had no answer for a second-string running back. Like, again, no knock on Jordan Mason, but I would think that you'd be prepared to force them to – he wouldn't be a factor in this game. And it somehow – he was a factor. They had no answers for Debo and Ayuk and Purdy. And so the Niners are a really good team. Clearly one of the top three teams in the league. So there's no shame in getting beat by them. But, yeah, Aaron Rodgers looked really rusty. He looked very much like a guy who had not played meaningful football in a couple years.
Jeff, I really enjoyed this conversation, dude. I've been looking at your work via social media for years, but I appreciate you joining the show, man.
Oh, appreciate you, man.
Well, thanks for having me. It's definitely a pleasure.
All right. Well, if you say that, we're going to do it again.
That's right. We got the number now, right? Yeah.
All right. Sweet, man. Really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, bro. Take care.
All right. I tweeted out one of his comments because it was just too damn funny. If you'd like to follow Jeff, it's at Jeffrey Chadiha. J-E-F-F-R-I.
Chadiha.
I'm going to spell it. That's what I'm going to do. At Jeffrichadiha.
Chadiha.
Whenever this happens, you and Landfill tell me how to say something, I get in my own head and I get like anxiety ridden about mispronouncing it. That's why I just stopped saying it.
What you should do is stop thinking that you got to say it when they tell you the right way. That's why he looked it up and sent you the damn audio.
Like, it's like a mental hurdle I have. I'm telling you. I'm like anxious.
Big ass ears and you can't hear nothing?
I'm telling you. It's a weird thing.
Just repeat what you hear. Chadia.
Chadia.
Yeah.
There you go.